The pipes are glowing.
Welcome to Nintendo Dad's episode 32, take two. On tonight's episode, we discuss Pokemon Shuffle coming to iOS. Splatoon continues to get more updates, and Miyamoto is stepping away from hardware design. What does that really mean? All this and so much more in tonight's episode. Oh, and by the way, after voting Zack off of the island for a week, he returns to extract his revenge on the soundboard. You music?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. Tonight is July the 8th, 2015. Joining me tonight, of course, my name is Zach Erickson. Joining me is Justin Masson. What's going on tonight, Justin?
You know what? It is. It's great to have the old band back after a week of hiatus.
Yeah, a week of hiatus. I thought you guys said you were going to be doing a show last week.
So we kind of did a show last week, and then my audio file did not work at all. But I will say, for those of you that missed it, best show ever.
Speaking,
just Jesse and Justin, best show ever.
Absolutely. Speaking of the best show ever, joining us as well is Jesse Waldeck from VGTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
Figured we'll let you back from Exile Island.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's what you guys get for trying to run a show without me. You think I'm irreplaceable? That will teach you to know I am not. I am the one who knocks.
Yes, exactly. Apparently, Exile Island is Edmonton.
We were originally planning on trying to get all the music and sound effects in post, and then I realized, oh, I can still play the music, and it still comes up in the mic, and it still sounds doesn't sound half bad. So we muddled with that the whole show last week, and turns out no one gets to hear it.
Ah, lost to the ether. Well, you know what? I think that that Chrome is frozen. That's great. Thanks, Chrome. I can't stop the music. Can't stop the beat. Hang on.
Don't stop the music.
Got a new.
Don't stop the
music. Got a new system here. That's okay. Good job.
But at least for those of you that did miss last week's episode, don't worry. We're jamming out last week's content and this week's content into one ginormous stuff. So we're actually going to cover about 2 weeks of news.
Beta again.
I know, right? Dang it. Seriously, Chrome. What the heck, man? Here we go. Is this working? Okay, here we go. Let's go into the news, shall we, before Chrome decides to take another dump.
Do it.
I have a window here that says, Google Chrome quit unexpectedly. Would you like to reopen? Yeah, sure.
Unexpectedly.
So, we've got 2 weeks of news, gents, to go through. What is the first on our list here? As I'm trying to, this is the first bit of news for this past 2 weeks.
Yeah. So the first thing that we're kind of bringing up is that we got news last week that Pokemon Shuffle is coming to iOS in 2015, fall more specifically.
Nice. Actually, I saw something just today, which I think was actually information we had heard before that maybe is kind of goes along with this story that Nintendo has confirmed that Nintendo and DNA will be releasing five different games from five different IP between now and April 2017. And so we know that Pokemon Shuffle is going to be the first in the fall. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what we're getting at, is that it will be the fall of 2015. Pokemon Shuffle is the very first one.
Okay, cool. So how do you feel about that? You feel like that's a good choice? Didn't we kind of already predict this? I feel like we predicted this a while ago.
May not have been an official prediction, but I think it sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all said playing it, I mean, it's Candy Crush Pokemon style, right? And that this made sense to be there. It's already a free game that they're offering through, the eShop. So this makes 100% sense. The question that Jesse and I had last week when we talked about this was, if there's going to be any kind of hooks so that it will allow to take your current Nintendo Network ID. So as we all know, I am the Pokemon Shuffle aficionado of this group.
The Pokemon Shuffler is what it's just called.
Yes, I am shuffling all day long.
Oh boy.
If we're really good, we'll insert a sound cue right there.
Yeah. I got
nope
for that.
We're not that good. Fair enough. But I'm on level. I checked before I came down here. I'm on level 178 of Pokemon Shuffle.
Dang, man.
I have caught 184 Pokemon because I use the mains and the specials and the offering. But I download the game on iOS, and is it going to ask me for my Nintendo Network ID? And I want it to, because if I'm going to pick up my device on my iPhone and play it there, I want to be on 100 on level 170.
Oh, you want crossplay?
I want crossplay, and Jesse and I can see he is wielding his neck back. For those of you that are not watching on the stream, as if questioning, "Oh, Justin, you are a foolish man, sir, for asking for that." And we kind of both agree that we don't think crossplay is there yet, but we thought it'd be a lovely hook if DNA could get their act together and do that.
That would be cool. I think that just getting an app on iOS is a big enough deal for Nintendo right now, and Android, I guess. But yeah, I think that's a fairly reasonable request down the line for something different, for like another game. I feel like that's the kind of thing that NX is going to be really good at. You know what I mean? Where like the sort of crossplay between mobile and NX. NX is, we already know that NX is being developed with mobile in mind. So that's maybe something like the Pokemon Shuffle on NX probably could sync. You know, that would be a reasonable thing. But for 3DS, I feel like they were just like, "Oh, I don't know how that works, the internet."
Yeah. Well, I don't think the 3DS phones home with your status, but the NX definitely could.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they could definitely develop, a game on 3DS to sync with mobile stuff. But I don't think that Pokemon Shuffle was ever made for that. So yeah,
I made the comparison last week to Candy Crush. It does do a synchronous between your devices and Facebook if you log into Facebook, because all of them hit the same server.
Mm-hmm.
So because your content isn't saved on the device, it's saved on the server and pulled in every time you log in. So that that's why it works. So the 3DS would have to do the same thing, and right now it's not.
Yeah, it doesn't at all do that.
Likely won't.
Mm-hmm. However, I think that is definitely something that would be a nice feature for the NX and for future mobile games. Speaking of the mobile games, with the news that we have four other IPs, four games from four other IPs, not counting Pokemon being the fifth. What four IPs do you guys feel would be good mobile game fodder, I guess?
Oh.
Just like off the top of your head.
Well, I think, something has to have Mario in it. Like, there's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's such a widely recognizable franchise and brand across the world. So what that game looks like more is the question. Like, maybe it's an endless, castle runner with Mario.
I don't think any of the games will be in the style of that IP. I think we'll see something in the Zelda universe, but won't be a Zelda game. It'll be something else.
It'll be like Hyrule Warriors, crossbow trading type.
Yeah, something along that. Just like Hyrule Warriors is not a Zelda game, but it is in the Zelda universe. We're going to see something like that. So I imagine Mario, Zelda, Metroid, Donkey Kong, well, your big hitters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if we get did either of you guys play Infinity Blade?
Yep.
If we get a Zelda type Infinity Blade kind of game,
that'd be sweet.
That would kind of be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they'll probably do some low hanging fruit. I don't know if any of you played Destiny. They have a Destiny companion app where you basically can gear up your player and look at his stats, your Titan and stuff. So maybe they have that for Splatoon where you can actually swap out your stuff or be able to go to the actual kit shop and buy stuff and put them on there. And But then again, that requires the hook-ins with your network ID.
Oh, I'm sure I'm sure the network ID is not really too big of a concern.
No,
I feel like if they're going to have their membership service lined up as well, it would be really smart to know has Justin made any in-app purchases in Pokemon Shuffle, and if so, then we can actually put that towards your Nintendo points on your, on Club Nintendo 2.0 or whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah.
Right. So I definitely think that the games will have the Nintendo Network ID. They could also very easily do Miiverse integration through their mobile apps, right? So.
Yeah, I think they will come out with a Miiverse app for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that'll probably be bundled with their whatever the thing was that Miyamoto or Iwata was saying, we really want to have an app where you can make a Mii and make it your avatar. like yeah. as if that's some sort of like really high priority. But
no. Well, and we see like later in the notes here, we see that there's a Mi community or the Miiverse update coming in summer of 2015. I think that's going to start.
I mean, that'll coincide with the,
some of those hooks.
Yeah, coincide with the app release and stuff like that too.
Video Game Guru in the chat asks, "Wait, is this actual Nintendo games for iPhone, or is this Pokemon Company games for iPhone?" I think these are actual Nintendo games. Yes.
Yeah, these are full on Nintendo games through the partnership of through DNA. DNA made this other really really weird comment that basically they think that having good IPs is a really easy way to sell games on the App Store, and part of me just felt really yucky about that is the only way I can really say it.
Yeah, they reference stuff like Transformers, Disney,
and it's just like
I believe they actually even reference Kim Kardashian.
Yeah exactly, and like I don't want like part of me was just like, I don't know, like it felt like they were going to have a weird sort of, oh, hey, this is our big ticket, you know, and just kind of use Nintendo's IP willy-nilly, which we know that Nintendo has a lot more control over their IPs than that. But
I do think that they're right. Right. And that's why I made the statement of you need to come out with Mario on it, because Mario is a recognizable IP that sells. Right. We've talked about his brand recognition being very similar to something like Mickey Mouse. So they do. They need a strong IP, and they're 100% correct. Mm-hmm. But to your point, it does feel a bit like it's like the dirty underside belly of marketing that no one wants to admit is there, but it's true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I guess it's just, yeah, for sure. So as far as other games, I think some sort of like a Fire Emblem turn-based strategy type game, Advance Wars maybe. They haven't put Advance Wars on any 3DS. They haven't had any Advance Wars 3DS game. So maybe Advance Wars would do well on like a mobile setting or something. That would be cool. Animal Crossing, I think, is a shoo-in. Anyways, lots of possibilities. So any other thoughts before we move on to this Splatoon business? Okay. So Splatoon Tower Mode, is that what it's called? Tower Mode?
Yeah, it's Tower Mode.
That is a really... Wow. Okay, that's really generic.
I thought it was something else, but
no, it's Tower Mode.
Tower. Okay. Tower Control.
Tower Control. Okay.
Okay, that's not much better, but
Tower's in there, folks. Give me a break.
So Tower Control in Splatoon was added. I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to play this yet, and I tried last night. I was like, oh man, I haven't got a chance to play this yet. I should go in and play. Oh wait, it's part of ranked mode only, and only ranked mode or only Tower Control or Turf Wars is given at any given or going at any given time. You can't pick which one of the two you want to play.
Yeah, correct.
I haven't had a chance to play it. I was pissed yesterday.
We determined last week they were on a 12-hour rotation.
Oh my god. So wait, a 12-hour rotation? So like the morning is, how does that work?
I guessed 4 and Justin said 12, but
okay.
I'm not sure.
We'll see.
I'm still level 12 hour rotation.
I'm still level 6.
So every other night you'll be able to play it, basically. So like, okay, that's really dumb. Get into the mode, that's really really dumb.
Yeah, and I thought maybe there was an error at first. So I actually reached out to a bunch of people in the Miiverse. I'm like, is anyone else having this issue? They're like, no, that's the way it's set up. You can do, you know, it's kind of random which one it's going to be. I was like, son of a cracker jack.
Son of a cracker jack, indeed.
Yeah. I will say though, I like the mode.
Played it? Okay.
Oh yeah, I've loved it.
So give me a rundown. Like, can you use all the different maps?
Well, just like before, they cycle between maps for you.
Right.
So you've got two you get to choose from. And what happens is you're on your team, and in the middle of the course, whatever course it is, there is a tower that floats a little bit over the ground, and your objective is to get there and secure the tower. So by securing the tower, you have to get a person on it and paint it your color. Once you have secured the tower, it begins to slowly move towards your kind of my apologies. It doesn't move towards yours. It moves towards the enemy's base area.
You did the same thing last week too.
Yeah, I know. I had to think with that because originally when it played, I was like, why are we going the opposite direction? But it actually goes towards the enemy's base area. And you, so so in that is an interesting dynamic because you're getting closer to the enemies who are coming closer to you. So what really happens is at the top of the screen, it's very much like a visual tug of war. So the tower starts in the middle of this kind of line tug of war at the beginning at the top. You have an indicator on both ends of this tug of war line where you're kind of a zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm on it for quite a while, it might move down to like 25. Line. Yeah, the 50-yard line, and then all of a sudden you take it, and it moves down to your 55-yard line. Then I take it, goes down to my goes back and forth, and it becomes a huge tug of war. There was a case I was saying to Jesse last week that we actually got it down to basically the 1-yard line on both teams, and it took us almost 2 minutes for the last yard to happen because everyone is fighting over this tower. It's super fun. Like it's a different strategy for how you play. Like I'm a big roller fan. You guys know that roller is my jam. But for this, I actually
roller seems like it'd be really useless.
It's pretty much useless in this case. Yeah. So in a lot of ways, this is a great example of knowing what kind of mode of these two ranked modes you're going to play, because that does have an impact on what weapon you're definitely choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like if I was going into tower mode, and I didn't notice that I had the roller, I am definitely not in the best case. Now, roller all of a sudden becomes a very big defensive weapon. So if you can basically be in front of the tower as it's rolling, right, as it's moving towards your target, you could be potentially killing guys who are coming towards you. But it's not as beneficial for sure. But it's fantastic. I love it. The only issue I have is I do wish that they gave us the option of saying which of these two ranked battles would you like to play.
Yeah.
However, I do understand why they probably don't. Because if you think about it, right now you have ranked battles and you have turf war. So you're essentially asking the users to go into one of these two camps. Great. Perfect. Right? That's not horrible. But once I split into three camps, so I'm in ranked battle and you have these two options, I'm diluting potentially that player base of people who are available to play. What Splatoon has always been very good about is matching people to play very quickly. Like there's not a long delay. And I think that if you divide your groups, you have a longer delay because you're waiting for players. And I think that's a huge thing they're trying to avoid.
They're just artificially reducing, or not, yeah, I guess artificially limiting the
options,
the matchmaking pool, basically.
Correct. Yeah, essentially. So I don't think it's a horrible idea. I would like the choice. I'm just a person who likes choices.
I just wish that they would find a way to do that. And I don't even know if there is a way, but find a way to do it that didn't limit my options as a player.
Yeah. Now it's not to say that in a couple, in a couple of weeks or a couple of months, they won't give you the option of, hey, you can choose either which one. We know that the game has sold over 1 million copies in less than a month. It's continually gaining more traction. We're seeing more and more growth and purchasing of it in Japan specifically. So that user base may increase where they have the ability to say, yeah, we can offer these three things and feel like the service that we're providing is not being lagged. But I am impressed with ranked modes. I would highly recommend playing it. It's a ton of fun.
Did either of you play during Splatfest?
But I voted.
You did vote? Who did you vote for?
I voted for Team Dog.
Oh, so you vote for the winning guys. Okay.
Yeah, and I presume you voted for the losers?
Oh, I told the story about my son picking Team Cat and then having...
Oh, so you're blaming your kid. That's cute.
So, yeah. No. I didn't get to play it either, but...
Yeah, buyer's remorse.
Yeah, buyer's remorse on voting Team Cat, which apparently he was right he was right to have had regrets, but... no, I didn't get a chance either. I was in Edmonton during that, so I was away from my Wii U. I was actually kind of like, oh, man. That's the one thing about Splatfest is it's literally one day.
Yeah.
And if you miss that day, then too bad. And so it was on the 4th of July this time.
Yep.
So does that, that seems like kind of a weird time to have it too. Like, oh, well.
Yeah, it's definitely unfortunate, right? Like, I mean, I was at a bachelor party all day. I was in Calgary. I wasn't able to go to it, do it either. So I was disappointed.
Your heart was at Splatfest, though.
I know. My heart really was at Splatfest. I was like, you know what I'd much rather be doing right now?
Splatfest.
Yeah. And I'm not going to lie to you. At certain points during the bachelor party, I definitely thought that.
Wow, that must have been a great bachelor party.
It's a different story altogether. What was I saying? Now, Zach, did you get anything for participating in, even just for voting for Team Cat?
Well, no, because basically what they have is, at least my understanding of it, is there is a specific shirt that yep. they give you at Splatfest. But once yep. Splatfest is over, it resets into a regular texture again.
Correct.
So I still have the Splatfest shirt, but it is no longer Team Cat. It is just whatever. It's just random dumb. Shirt.
Because as winning with Team Dog, I actually got 5 snail shells.
Oh, what?
Which allowed me to add an additional additional ability or slot on any of my on any of my kit.
See, that's
I had a couple like 3 slot kits, like hats and jackets and stuff that I added to be 4
slot.
I
would love to add abilities to my to like the amiibo armor and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like the,
so I guess you just need to vote for winning team.
I know, right? Like that's what I get for voting for the losing guy.
Way to go, kid.
Jeez. Thanks a lot, Nick.
Yeah. But they are still rolling out some more upgrades or DLC. And I know that we actually have a Twitter question about this later, so maybe we'll hold off on some more of the DLC stuff till we get there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, check it out. Ranked battles. Do it up.
Right on. Next, we have this Nintendo PlayStation prototype that has been discovered. I saw the pictures for this, and I mean, it's like definitely this really super rare. All of the prototypes were ordered to be destroyed. And for those of you who have read, I'm blanking on the name.
Really?
Console Wars. Yes, there we go.
My good friend of the show, Blake Harrison.
Yeah. You know that Sony was very upset about the, their partnership gone awry after, who was it who they eventually went with?
Phillips. And you know what that created?
What was that?
The CDI?
The CDI, that's right.
Wonderful games.
Yeah, it was terrible. So they,
notice those Zelda games are not on the timeline.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you guys think about this? Like, I'm looking at it, it's kind of a weird looking thing. I don't know. What do you think?
It looks exactly like I would have expected it to look.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like Sega CD a little bit, honestly.
It's very much a piece of history, but a piece of history of like if there was an alternate universe and somehow there's a hole ripped in the universe and a piece of technology falls from that universe to ours. This is what I feel just happened.
It is like, it is both retro and super like future. It is like futuristic retro. You know what I mean?
Well, it feels like a time, in an alternate universe where play Sony and Nintendo came together. We have this, right? Like, I feel like it's a different timeline altogether. Like, could you imagine what would have happened if, Nintendo and Sony had indeed joined force and this was a real thing? What the landscape of our current consoles would be right now, and
Nintendo
would have
third parties.
Where would we be? Yeah, Nintendo would have third parties.
That's exactly, yeah. Like, it's crazy, just looking at this. Can you imagine what would have happened? Like, how Nintendo is like, wow, we really wish we would have just gone with Sony, because we would probably have much more. Would they really, though? Like, they'd probably have more of a hold in the marketplace, but I feel like Xbox would just be even more dominant than it already is.
Well, it's challenging, right? Because, if you think, here's the thing, though. If you think about it, that timeline, I feel like we're doing like a really bad like Back to the Future. If that timeline happened, Marty, everything else would be erased. But
like, there's a picture of like Reggie fading.
Yeah, fading on the background. No, but the Wii U. The Wii U just fading off with Reggie.
But if that happened, who would there be a third tier, and who would be?
Dreamcast still alive.
You think Sega would still be around?
Oh yeah, man,
of importance.
Oh, that is the weirdest.
I know, but here's the thing: if that happened,
have you ever seen the butterfly effect?
Yes.
That's what Ashton we're getting.
I feel like we're being punked right now. But I mean, if you think about it, if this had occurred, would the 64 ever happened? Would the GameCube have ever happened? Would the Wii have ever happened?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like a totally different timeline.
It's a very different timeline.
64 probably would not have ever happened because they would have stuck with the disc format at that point. They wouldn't have gone cards.
Yeah. GameCube wouldn't have happened the same capacity it does now because it was all microdisc.
Yeah.
Because who needs more than 1.4 gig?
The timeline is getting erased.
No, Marty, we gotta get Back to the Future.
Hurry up, Doc. I'm so sorry.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Nintendo and Sony, get in the car. Get in the car, Doc.
So yeah, that's
that hurts.
So yeah, that's the Nintendo PlayStation. I don't know what else to say. It's pretty crazy though. Pretty cool.
Check out the pictures online. Cool.
Yeah, go
check
it out.
Seeing the Sony branded Super Nintendo controller was kind of awesome.
Oh yeah, that's like the coolest. It's really weird. And they even have the cool Famicom buttons, the colored buttons that we wanted on our new 3DSs. Anyway, moving on. No Amiibo support for Triforce Heroes.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up because we've talked about it a lot, and we've had a lot of friends of the show talk about how Nintendo is kind of all in for Amiibo, and it feels like everything is Amiibo. And you know, we've had some people who've said they kind of like rage quit based because of Amiibo. I know our good friend
looking
Dave. Looking at you, Dave. But we've had other friends who've been like, "No, we're out. I'm tired of your Amiibo nonsense." But we actually had an announcement 2 weeks ago or a week ago that the developer and producer of Triforce Heroes actually said they are not going to put Amiibo support in it because they didn't feel it actually worked for the game. So I thought this was nice to hear because we're so used to like feeling like they're squeezing.
That is Amiibo. So weird to me because it seems like with the whole costume thing in Triforce Heroes, like that would be a really easy thing to put costumes in for Amiibo. You know what I mean? Like, how does that? I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interest because an interesting comment for that they would just say, oh, it doesn't really fit. But having said that, like I think maybe from a gameplay perspective, it doesn't add anything. Is probably like what is that more what he was saying, or like that they couldn't. Because conceptually, it makes a lot of sense to me, at least. But
yeah, it just didn't feel like it added anything to it, which is great for them to recognize that, right? Like, mm-hmm. They don't feel they recognize anything, then
that, yeah,
why do it?
And being on the 3DS, I think it would split the player base to only those who have the new 3DS or bought the little add-on dongle that will be released with Animal Crossing.
Jo-hockey-puck.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's good that they're not forcing it into everything. Having said that, maybe I'm biased because I have so many of them, but I'm like, oh, but really? I really would have liked to run around as a Ness Link in that game. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's a little bit different there, but I don't know. What do you think?
Is that a Link dressed as Ness or a Ness dressed as Link? Or does it matter?
I don't know. I think Link dressed as Ness and like carrying around like a baseball bat and the hat and the whole deal, right? And like he's like got the home run bat, and he just is running around with that. I don't know. I can see how that would like
Link
spiral
with
the out.
Bowser shell on his back.
Yeah, dressed up as Bowser, See, and that could get a lot of stuff like this. I think that it's good that they're showing restraint because it would be really easy for them to do that. But at some point, it's like, oh my gosh, are you serious? Literally every single game, especially this holiday coming up, almost every single game is pretty heavy on Amiibo. So it's kind of nice to know that not every single game you're going to need to have Amiibo for.
Yeah, and you know they could make bank off it, right? So I'm kind of happy that they're not necessarily sacrificing content for money.
You know, and I think part of it too is that they really it's beneficial to them to be able to focus on one line of Amiibo at a time. And I think this, the, you know, Q3, Q4 of this year for Amiibo is all Animal Crossing. It's the cards, it's the Amiibo Crossing, it's Happy Home Designer, you know what I mean? And so for them to also be trying to have Zelda
Happy
also
House
have
Arrest. Amiibo.
Yeah, Happy House Arrest, there you go. So I think that's a pretty smart move as well, just to not make it too complicated. And their message for now, at least, or their theme is Amiibo is Animal Crossing for Q3 and Q4. So cool, especially Q4, I think. So anyway, cool. Next, Miyamoto stepping away from hardware development and focusing on software. That's interesting. That's the first time he's never been involved in hardware, right? That he wasn't involved in hardware.
To the best of our knowledge.
Yeah, which is, I don't know, what is that? What do you think that's saying? Like, who do we know who is involved in it now? Is it somebody totally new? We know that this is probably the first hardware that the console and handheld units have been merged into one, that have been merged into one department, right? Like before there was the handheld department, there was a console department. This is the first one that they're a combined department as they work together.
I think even the Wii U might have been under the one, because they joined they joined a long time ago, it seems like.
Yeah, now. So I think it's they, but like from the concept, I guess.
I agree. From that, yes. Right. From concept, yes.
Yeah, so like the Wii U probably had some stuff in there. Probably we saw some of the Miiverse integration working, you know, with Miiverse working on both 3DS and Wii U. But this is the first time that they both together have developed a single... Well, I guess it is just one unit now, right? It's not even two separate things anymore, so... how do you feel about Miyamoto not being involved, though? Like, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Well, we know things like, you know, like the N64 controller exists the way it does because of Miyamoto's influence on what he wanted Mario to control like.
Mm-hmm.
So, but at this point, I don't think we're going to see very many additional advancements in controllers. They've been more or less standardized since DualShock 1. There's been very little difference between DualShock 1 and DualShock 4. But I think having Miyamoto back in software can only be a good thing. You know, that's where his strength is.
Yeah, I feel like having, and I don't even necessarily think that having Miyamoto not involved is, you know, a good thing or a bad thing. But at this point, I think Nintendo would be served to kind of get a little bit more in line with the control paradigm of the other systems. If they do, if third party is really important to them, which I don't even know if it is, probably not.
It needs to be, but probably not.
Right. But I feel like having them be close to Xbox and PS4 as possible is a good thing, and that developing games, good games around that kind of control system is still very, very possible. Although, you know, given some of the comments they've made, I feel like they've also said that, you know, the certain aspects of the NX are making ideas possible that developers have had for a long time, and we are excited about that. So it's probably going to have some other weird new input that we haven't seen before, too, so... We shall see. I don't know. What do you think, Justin?
Yeah, I, you know, first and foremost, Miyamoto is critical to so much that we do as video game players of Nintendo. Not only of Nintendo, but of Xbox and of Sony and any gaming system. His stamp is somewhere influential on those things. So I think that's you know, we kind of have to salute that. But I do agree with Jesse. His strength is in the software that he's designed, and he's created so much memorable experiences from that I'm fine with him doing that. He's awesome. Now, he's such a huge deal in Nintendo. It's not like he's not going to have some kind of input on the NX. Just is not going to be one of the driving players in the room, right? But he'll probably have some input. He's a legend in those meetings. So, and I also think it's good for, again, I've talked about this before, this idea of the future of Nintendo, and I think especially when we talked about Splatoon, to allow others the opportunity to fill that gap and do their own work and their own stamp, because Miyamoto eventually is going to step away, right? So we need for other people to be mentored and to be coached under his wing and advisement being there. So I think this is a good thing actually for the company holistically. I think it's also good for us as game players.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Last couple of stories here. Zeo Drifter coming to Wii U with a cross-buy option. So if you have purchased Zeo Drifter on 3DS, you get it for free. Is that correct?
Yeah.
I am super pumped for that. Maybe I'll wait for... When do we know when that's coming out?
We don't know when. It was just recently announced by Renegade Kid.
Okay. Do we know, by the way, this is a little bit of a random... Do we know when the Shovel Knight DLC is coming out yet?
It should be late August, I believe. I was actually listening to an interview recently. They've just finished off the alphas, the betas. They just finished, and they expect it to be like in the next couple of months. So
come on,
TM.
I want this. I want it so bad. Scheduled for Q. It was originally scheduled for Q.
And did you hear that they're doing something exclusively for Nintendo?
What?
Say yes. That. Yes. They posted out that they're doing something Why don't you do this? Move on to your next thing, and I will find it for you.
Okay, sounds good. So the next thing up here, Miiverse getting a substantial overall upgrade in summer of 2015. And we kind of talked about that already. That was the update. Likely, we figure, is going to potentially be alongside the app, we think. Like a mobile app as well as maybe the membership service. Do you think it'll be around that same time?
I think this is something different. I'm not expecting that to happen until later in the year. But this update, I think, is more of just reorganizing how Miiverse works, putting in additional search parameters or way of organizing all of those communities.
Can you also save, you can save pictures or something like that too?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, you can do it albums.
Yeah. So you're no longer limited to only posting the picture that exists on the screen at the moment you push the home button.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can just save them and batch post them or something. That'd be good.
Yeah, I think I made a comment last week saying I doubt it'll be as streamlined as the way Apple does it on their iPhones, is mm-hmm. where you hit two buttons at the same time and it takes a picture. It'll more likely be hit home, kind of like what you do to go into Miiverse, and there'll be a new button on that screen that says...
It says take a screenshot.
Save the picture. And then mm-hmm. there it'll save the picture of both of two pictures, one on the top screen, one on the bottom screen, and then you'll be able to reference it later, I think.
I wish that they had, because some games, I think both of them from the same developer, but like Animal Crossing New Leaf and Tomodachi Life, if you held down the L and R buttons at the same time, it would take a screenshot of the top screen. And that was great. That's why you saw so many people sharing Animal Crossing pictures for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, it just saves it to the SD card?
Because it would just save it straight to the SD card, and then you could go into the image share web app and post a picture whenever you wanted. If they had like a OS-wide way to do that, that would be awesome. But I feel like taking a screenshot currently through Miiverse it takes you out of the game entirely, and I don't really like that.
And it's so slow. And the 3DS
it's really slow. Even
3DS
on the new
is even slower.
Slow. Yeah.
Yeah, because I posted some screenshots when I was finishing up Link Between Worlds last week, and mm-hmm. even on the new 3DS, it was brutally slow.
Yeah. Finally, we have on here, Justin. Do you have that thing yet? By the way,
I'm working on it. I've got it almost done.
Oh, come on. Suspense is killing me. Finally, we have an indie sale on the eShop. Is this eShop going on right now?
Starting tomorrow.
Nice. Hot dang. So head over to the eShop. Is this just Wii U?
I believe so.
So on the Wii U, own or buy one, get 60% off the rest. Which, pro tip, buy Edge. And then everything else will be on sale. If you're going to get Edge, it's like, isn't that game like $2 or $3? Anyways.
Which one?
Edge.
I think so.
It's the one with the cube. You like roll this cube around. It's dirt cheap. Hey, look at that. Spin the bottle. Bumpy's Party is on this list. That is that game is super weird and awesome. I talked about it last episode that I was on, which would actually have been the last episode since your efforts last week were in vain. but anyway, yeah. So we've got a big list of indie games. So 60% off if you own one or more of the following. So Bit Trip presents Runner 2, Future Legend of Rhythm Alien.
Thank
Edge,
you.
Gianna Sisters, Twisted Dreams, Guacamelee, Mighty Switch Force 2, Mighty Switch Force Hyperdrive, Rush, Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, Spin the Bottle, Bumpy's Party, Swords and Soldiers, Toki Tori 1 and 2. Trine 1 and 2 as well. So check that business out if you don't own those games. I feel like I own all the games on there that I would like to play, but especially after the Humble Bundle. But still pretty exciting news for that as well. So very cool.
All right, I've got some info for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
So I dove through the internet and found it. So Yacht Club Games kind of made a bit of an announcement on the end of June, early July, and they kind of mentioned that, hey, you know, there is a 3DS there are physical copies of the game now going to be available. So it's not just an eShop. They're making those available. They come into North America. They start talking about their Shovel Knight Plague of Shadows. That's a full-featured challenge mode with more than 50 crazy levels to explore.
That's where you basically play as Plague Knight, right?
Yeah, as Plague Knight.
You play the whole
and then game. They said, finally, Nintendo fans have a big surprise to look forward to, according to Yacht Club's games. And here's a direct quote. Also, we've heard the cries of bringing more exclusive content to Nintendo platforms. It might not be quite what you expected, but keep an eye out for another Megaton announcement soon. So and they have Megaton capitalized.
You know, I'm going to call it right now. Smash Bros. He's a character in Smash Brothers. I'm going to call it.
I was going to joke, instead of fighting Kratos, you'll fight Reggie.
That'd be awesome. But yeah, no, I seriously think that, like, if you look at a lot of the Nintendo, or a lot of the Smash ballot polls that were conducted recently, you know, like, there were people when the Smash ballot went live that they kind of conducted their own polls as well. And Shovel Knight was one of the most requested characters through those polls. Like, we talked about him even on the show, right? So I feel like that'd be an awesome... Sorry, say that again?
Not Paddy Wagon?
No, I don't think Paddy Wagon has a chance against Shovel Knight. I feel like if they're going to do one more third-party character, they would be really smart to do an indie character, and Shovel Knight is the number one choice, I think. So that would be amazing. Can you imagine Shovel Knight in Smash Brothers? That's going to be that's my prediction for that. But I'm just really excited for this altogether. And to play as Plague Knight. It's a totally different sort of gameplay. So, right on. Should we head on into what we've been playing?
Do it.
All right. So, what we've been playing, Justin, why don't you start us off this week? What have you been playing, sir?
Sure. So, I've been playing Gunman Clive. This was part of the Steam, the Humble Bundle package that was out early June. If you had paid more than the $9.25 than I had, so I had this available to me, which I downloaded. And I'm really loving this game. And I know that, Zach, you had actually mentioned it to me several months ago to pick up, and I never did. But it's a lot of fun. The art style is fantastic. It's a challenging kind of
platformer. I love the music in the game, too. It's just like this weird sort of like... I wouldn't necessarily call it 8-bit, but like it's not really, but it's like kind of this weird twangy Western sort of...
Yeah.
It's cool.
It knows exactly what it's trying to be and does it really well. So it's a lot of fun with a 3D on, you know, 3D effect.
Oh, the 3D, on 3DS. The 3D looks great.
Is tremendous. If this is not part of your game library currently, go ahead and hit the pause button on your iPod right now or whatever it is, or your iPhone. Take a moment, find your 3DS, crack it open. It will wait for you. It's fine. And download this. I think it's $2.99. And you know what? While you're there, just stop. Just go over and find Gunman Clive 2 and download that one too. Because for less than, you know, $7, you're getting two fantastic games.
Absolutely.
I really hope they're making a Gunman Clive 3. I don't know if they are, but I really hope they are. It's fantastic. I love it. So I've been playing that. I've also been playing, and I have hopefully we'll have a review up sometime soon-ish, Roving Rogue, which is a game that's on the eShop right now. We got a review copy from, I can't remember the game studio right now off the top of my head. I apologize. It's an interesting game. Your challenge is you start from the very end of the game. So the very beginning starts off with you at like the boss fight. You have now finished the boss, the end credits roll, and now you have to find your way out and get home.
If you start at the end of the game, is this like Benjamin Button style or like where like you eventually end at the beginning of the game or
understanding of it, that's the way it seems right now.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting approach. I have some challenges with the game. We'll talk about it more in my review. But, you know, maybe if you're questioning whether you want to pick that one up, maybe wait for my full review before you jump into it. So we'll talk about that one soon. That's what I've been playing.
Right on. Jesse, how about you? What have you been playing this week, good sir?
I've been playing a lot of the Batman Arkham Knight on my PlayStation 4. That is just
nice.
So fun. And I played through Arkham Asylum and Arkham City when they were new, and didn't ever. I rented Origins, but didn't get far into it. Then I bought this one. I'm almost done with it. I'm like, I think 85% into the through with the story, like 75% through of everything, including all the side quests. Then I also started up the Harley Quinn DLC that I got for pre-ordering the game, which is a small little half-hour thing, which is with the story, the timeline of that is before the main game starts. And I'm out to the final fight with Nightwing. I haven't been able to beat him yet. But if you enjoy these Batman games, you'll love this one. You know, the biggest grief thing I didn't like about it, at least initially, was how the Batmobile controlled.
Yeah, that's what you were saying before. That was kind of a it was kind of meh. You feeling better about it now, or?
A little bit. Part is because I am getting a little bit better at it, but part is I also, you know, when you want to drive, you don't expect Batman to be running over garbage cans and hitting sides of the buildings. You expect him to be driving pretty well if you saw him in real life.
So it's like you're like the drunk Batman in the Batmobile. Right.
You get to a point when you don't care anymore. You just okay, go, do it.
It was like GTA. It was like exactly. I don't care. The cops are gonna chase me anyway. So if I run
except
over
for here, the cops leave me alone. Whatever, because you're Batman.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's essentially exactly the same thing. Yeah, there was one of the side quests is through Riddler. Riddler kidnaps Catwoman and puts an explosive collar on her has a counter of 9 on it for 9 lives. Because does that sort of thing. And so he has Batman go to some underground raceway that he's set up, and you have to go through 3 laps of his death traps in the car. And once you're done with that, then you go back to the abandoned orphanage where he's keeping her. And then she gets a key, that she unlocks with a collar, and then the counter goes down to 8. And then you do some sort of mission together where you're tag teaming back and forth, and like one person sees a map and has to go switch to the other person to follow the map where the map is leading them. But kind of this back and forth thing to get another key. Now it's down to 7, and then you go back to a driving course. And the last few driving courses are really tough, but I'm glad I did them because those train you for what you have to do at the end game. And if I didn't do those, I would be equally lost now. So the side quests do have a point other than just being time fillers.
Mm-hmm.
They're a kind of a glorified tutorial.
Cool. And right on.
Then there was not something else I wanted to talk about, not necessarily a game, but this is a web series, almost like a TV show, an animation by I'm probably going to butcher his name, Chris Nayasi, who goes by the handle of Kerberfer. He over the past I think 3 or 4 years has been putting out episodes of a show called Tome, you know, T-O-M-E, The Terrain of Magical Expertise. And, you know, I haven't even heard of this until near the beginning of the year when he started re-releasing HD versions of his episodes on YouTube and would put one episode out a week. And, you know, and I really dug it. You know, it's about, you know, Tome is this, like an MMO game, and what you're seeing in it are like the characters within the game interacting with each other. And, you know, they know it's a game. So sometimes you have one character who is like big into the role playing and pretending the real world doesn't exist. And then you have other characters who will call each other by their real names in the real world once they've gotten to know each other better. And, And it's a kind of interesting play on how, you know, of what characters in an MMO would act like. And they ended up stumbling into like this plot conspiracy and with hackers and debuggers and the final episode went out on Tuesday. Or let me back up a little bit. You know, when season two started, Chris did a GoFundMe, and he can donate money, and that money helps pay for his animators, pay for the voice actors, because these are 25 to 35 minute episodes without commercials. So if it was actually on TV, it'd be close to an hour slot on some of these things. So a very time consuming process to do this, and I think for like $25, he would draw you into one of his episodes as a background character. And so you saw a number of characters, just had some background characters going on. Of course, I didn't know this until later, because I saw the episodes after this campaign. But shortly after episode 14 launched, he reopened the GoFundMe for 2 or 3 weeks and said, I'm opening this up again. If you want to throw in $25, I'll draw you into the final episode. So I threw him $25, and I'm in I am in the final episode. I submitted the artwork that Carter Johnson drew of me to him. So now there is a laugher tingle in the Chris Noyosi art style somewhere in that episode. So if you watch the last episode, go ahead and go
find it, people.
Go, yeah, do Where's Waldo? My avatar. I found it. It took me a while to find it, and I won't give any hints of where it is. But I'm there, and I actually posted a picture of it on Twitter that night when I found it. And I thanked Kerber for his work he's done over the years.
Yeah, right on, dude.
So it's just
immortalized. Nintendo Dad's immortalized through
in a fake MMO.
Yeah.
So if anyone's interested in watching it, go to YouTube Tome, T-O-M-E, Tome Episode 1, you'll find it. And there is an episode called Episode 0. I would highly recommend you do not watch it until after you've watched Episode 11 or 12, because it'll spoil things if you watch it too early.
Nice. Right on. Well, very cool. I just have a couple of things. I've been on the road a lot over the past 2 weeks. I haven't had a ton of time to dedicate to too much gaming. I did play a little bit more of Adventures of Pip. I've been meaning to. I have this like review that I'm supposed to be doing on this game, apparently, but with moving and whatnot, I haven't had a chance to get too much more time into it. But I have been playing a little more. It does pick up a little bit. Adventures of Pip, I know last time I was saying that it was a little bit slow, it was a little bit, it wasn't really jiving with me. It's picking up a little bit, and I'm kind of feeling it a little bit more, but a little, I feel like I'm going to try and get as much as I can in that game done by next week. I'm gonna do my best. So that's Adventures of Pip for Wii U, and then being on the road and like that sort of stuff, I've been playing a ton of Hearthstone on my iPhone, which... isn't Nintendo, but it's pretty. Have either of you played Hearthstone? I don't think so. Hey,
I know. I dabbled with it once. I got through tutorials, and that's about it.
So Hearthstone, for those of you who don't know what it is, it's a collectible card game on iPhone, Android, iPad, and also Mac and Windows. And so basically what it is, it's like a collectible card game similar to like Magic or something like that, but it's entirely based on, and it's free to play, it's entirely based on the Warcraft universe, and I really, really like it. It's a really fun, I've been playing it basically since beta, and it's really fun sort of you know, just a card game that you can play. The problem with getting into, like, I played Magic the Gathering for a while, but the problem that I continually ran into is that I didn't have anybody really to play it with. And with having little kids, it's really hard to, like, go down to the gaming store, you know, go down to your local game store and go down for, like, Magic Night because, oh, hey, honey, it's, you know, I know it's 6 o'clock on a Friday night and it's bedtime in an hour with the kids, but I really need to go do a draft for Magic right now. See you in 5 hours, right? Like, that just doesn't work. And so
it just doesn't sound like she's understanding.
Yeah, so you know what? You know, if you loved me enough, then... then you would understand, right? Like, of course not. That's not
good. And Zach moves to Edmonton by himself. Yeah,
exactly, right? And so the nice thing about Hearthstone is that the games are fairly quick, you know, and you can play, you know, you can sit down and play it basically anytime, anywhere. Games last around 10 minutes or so, and it's just a fun game. It, you know, you can make different decks and play with each other, you know, play with other people. You can play with your friends. So if there's anybody out there who does play Hearthstone, hit me up on Twitter and we'll play some Hearthstone. I've been playing a lot. I actually just finished the Black Rock Mountain adventure, which is like they have like solo adventures that you can play, just like kind of one player where they have very specific decks that you go against, and some of them are really weird decks that you have to basically figure out how to defeat. This particular super weird deck, and so I just finished Black Rock Mountain, which is their most recent adventure pack, and it's really fun. It is a little bit, for a free-to-play game, it is a little bit expensive when they do charge for things. Like, the most recent adventure pack was, you know, it was probably a good 7 or 8 hours of content, but it was $25 for the adventure pack, which for a mobile game is really expensive, but considering the game originated on PC, a free-to-play PC game for $25 isn't, you know, for a big content patch isn't a ton of money if you think it from a PC game perspective. So anyway, that's kind of a little side note there. So
yeah, I've only played it on PC. I haven't tried playing it on iOS.
Yeah, on iPhone, it's actually, I really enjoy it on iOS. It's not, like, you do have a few interface issues, but for the most part it's actually really, really easy to use the interface on iOS. I like it a lot. So so that's Hearthstone. For those of you who are playing that, hit me up and we'll play some Hearthstone. I know it's not Nintendo related, but that's what I've been playing on the road. So anyway, why don't we hit it into some listener mail?
Let's do it.
Here comes the postman. All right, postman. Wow, what is going on over there? I hear somebody settling in.
Yeah, I hit my mic, and then my mic hit a Wiimote, and then it's wobbly.
And then the mousetrap thing went, and the dominoes, and the.
It was completely a Rube Goldberg trap here.
Right on. So looks like we have quite a few emails to get through. We'll get through as many as we can, I think, and then pick up the rest next week. What do you think?
I think so.
All right. So let's hit off with our first email. I'll read it here. It says, "Hello, Nintendo Dads. It's me again, Holden Moffat. I'll start off with E3 now that it has come and gone. I'll concur that the digital event was underwhelming. However, Treehouse was great. There's always good vibes among those folks, and the championships were a hit as well. Most importantly, though, I think Nintendo pulled off some great marketing. While everyone was hoping for a new Mario, Nintendo showed everyone that Super Mario Maker is the new Mario. Many knew that they wanted it, but now they know why. As for next level games, I had hoped they'd be working on something else, but more importantly, I sincerely hope Nintendo kept them in a bunker impermeable to the internet." Yeah, totally. All in all, I think it was a good E3. Now that I've burdened you with all of that, I have two questions. Regardless of the NX release date, do you think the Wii U is dead? And if so, is it a good thing for the sake of the NX? I am of this impression personally after this E3. Second question, now that E3 is over, do you feel off, like you're returning to work after Christmas vacation? I know I do. Right on. So as for the second question first, now that it's over, it's funny, since, and I don't know how you guys feel, but since E3, I have felt like like, here, like, Nintendo's like, here's all this news, and then I'm like, awesome, I really want some new Nintendo stuff. Oh, they're releasing nothing till fall. Right? Like literally the entire summer is empty for as far as the release calendar is concerned. And that really took the wind out of my sails coming out of E3. And so it's definitely like, oh, all right. Well, I'll go play more Hearthstone. I don't know. what how are you guys feeling about it in general?
Yeah, I don't feel quite the same way as you on that, Zach. And I think the reason being is, yes, their calendar is thin. But we do know that there are a couple updates coming in August, both to Splatoon and to Smash, that'll make us come back to playing, right? So I think that's good. I also think Nintendo, as we know, is a company that, you know, they're going to have a Nintendo Director in a couple weeks, I'm sure, and roll something else out that we have to be aware of, right? So I don't know, but I do agree that, like, I am tired after E3.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, and I don't know if I want to talk about Federation Force again.
He says as he's yawning.
Yeah, totally. Yes. Yeah. As for the other question, regardless of the NX release date, do you think the Wii U is dead? And if so, is this a good thing for the sake of the NX? I feel like the Wii U is... The Wii U has peaked, I think, is how I feel about the Wii U. I don't think it's dead, but I think it has peaked. This Splatoon is, I think, going to be the peak. Splatoon, Smash Brothers, Mario Kart, those three combined, I don't think they have anything that they've announced that is going to, you know, other than Zelda, that's going to help them peak again. I think that they're on the decline. Now, I wouldn't say that it's dead, though. I think that the existing player base, or the existing owner base, or whatever you want to call it, is going to sustain Nintendo through until the NX. Although Nintendo as a company needs to maintain momentum, and any lost momentum with the Wii U, they have to make up with the NX, and I think that's the struggle that they're going to have. So, if the Wii U is dead, that is only, in my mind at least, that's only to the NX's detriment. From a marketing and hype perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's Wii U had a hard time getting off the ground because the Wii was already...
Exactly. I
made this point in the last week's show that you didn't hear. So, but when we first heard about the NX, my initial thought was, okay, they'll announce this in 2016. It'll launch in 2017. That gives the Wii U a 5-year life cycle. Which is exactly where every single Nintendo console has hit, except for two. The NES and the Wii has had 6-year life cycles each.
Mm-hmm.
So a 5-year life cycle is perfectly normal, and again, kind of expected mm-hmm. for the Wii U, because we would want them to put out something that is more along the lines of the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 by then. But now, you know, as I said it before, there's a chance that NX could come out next fall, which would give the Wii U the 4-year life cycle. So it's at least definitely past its halfway point. It's either at mm-hmm. the halfway point now, or last Christmas was halfway point. And so it's on the way out, but you know, just like the Wii, they'll still have those one or two games in the end cycle.
Do you think it's likely that, like, do you still think that NX is 2017, or do you think it's possible that it's 2016? How bad do they need it? Can Nintendo stand to go until November 2017? Black Friday weekend, 2017, before they release a new console?
I know they don't want to make the same mistake they made at the Wii, so they might try to get it out in 2016.
And there have been rumors that production's starting in October or something this year, right? So,
and with Metroid, Zelda is likely going to get it has a good chance of having a double release, similar to Twilight Princess. I've said that before. And that's why we're not seeing all these bigger games coming out on the Wii U, because we think all that might have shifted to NX.
Mm-hmm.
So, which will give NX the much needed launch boost, but if they blow their wad too soon, what are they going to do for next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah. So, yeah, you definitely don't want to
blow that
tune, like. Oh, there we go. Sorry.
Wow. I wasn't expecting fanfare for that. Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, here's the thing, like, yeah. The one thing I know about Nintendo, like, hardware cycles.
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you are going to get.
Yeah, anyway. Right on. Okay, Justin, what are you thinking about all this? Are you feeling pretty...
Yeah, I think, I hate to say that, I think Jesse's right, though. Like, I was originally thinking NX 2017. I felt like that was the right cycle, because we're gonna learn a little bit about it at the beginning of 2016, which Nintendo said. We're going to learn a little bit more about it at E3, maybe physically see the thing, get a little bit of hype on it. And then, so that'd be November, or sorry, that'd be 2016's E3, and then November of 2017 is when it'd be launching.
So you
However,
do think, you
I do... don't think, that was my initial thought, I don't think Nintendo right now has enough in the catalog to sustain the Wii U as long as they want it to be able to run off that cycle. So I think they're trying to create this transition point, and I do think that's why Zelda was delayed.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you didn't see Metroid, is because those development teams are being moved over.
And we already know that the new big Mario, they've already said, is going to be on the next platform. Yeah. You know, so no more 3D Mario, but I mean, imagine if we release with the Mario Wii U port to NX, we've got a new 3D Mario game. We potentially have retros here. This is pie in the sky, but like retros Metroid Prime 4 on NX. I don't know. That's a big pipe dream at this point, but, yeah. I definitely, I
Other
think
M2.
That. Other M2 by Retro Studios. No, here's what it is. It's Retro Studios presents Donkey Kong Country Returns 3. Oh. Whatever.
Nice.
Ape Runner.
Yeah.
What was it? But I would say, like, the question of, is it dead? I don't think the system's dead. But what I do
Not
think is,
dead,
is I think... Is I think it's now is probably a good time. If you're on the fence about picking up a Wii U, the library is now there to play some tremendous and awesome great games.
I'm getting better.
And for this to be like your second console if you haven't already added it.
I love that? It. I love, like, in the background, I just hear Jesse, I'm getting better. Oh my gosh, dude. Monty Python reference for the win.
Well, I thought I heard you say, I'm not dead yet.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I definitely agree, though. I think you're right. I think they just can't afford to wait till 2017 is really what it comes down to. If, like, the Wii U and the 3DS, too. Like, 3DS sales are in the tank, right? Like, yes, they did get an uptick from the new 3DS, but with both of their hardware selling as poorly as they are right now, they need to get a new system out soon. So hopefully that doesn't mean it's going to be rushed, though. That's the problem that I'm concerned with, too. Anyway, Jesse, why don't you read the next email for us?
Okay, we have Chris. It's Chris once again with another question for your... That's the right one? Yeah. With your inquiring minds. We saw Metroid at E3. Normally that sentence would have been in all caps, but it's not. It should be, though. For a couple of years, I've heard many people mention that they wanted the slightest hint of life for Metroid. They got it, but that's not good enough. I know it's not the be-all, end-all that Metroid fans wanted, but it's still a sign of life for Metroid. My question is that if this game were just released as Federation Force, I bet everyone would be upset that it was a cheap Metroid knockoff. Why aren't people satisfied that Metroid is still on Nintendo's map as opposed to falling into the oblivion that games like F-Zero and Duck Hunt have been forever? My biggest E3 shock was that we got a new Metroid, but no one wants it. Tough crowd. Thanks again.
I think this this is, for me at least, the reason that people are upset about Metroid Prime Federation Force is because it's not... Like if you think about Metroid as the kind of game that Metroid is, it's this sort of brooding, solitary experience. It's with Samus. You're exploring things. There's a very specific kind of gameplay that goes along with the Metroid name. And it appears like Federation Force is not that at all. And so not only, and that's not necessarily that's even a bad thing. It's not like people are angry when we get a Mario Golf game instead of a Mario 3D game, right? But I think that it's because they've never done this except for Mario or Metroid Prime Pinball, which is, you know, it's just not it's been so long since the most recent real Metroid game. And
that's the key, because it's been 5 years since Other M. If this happened 3 years after Other M, and with the expectation that the next big Metroid game would be out 3-ish years after that, I think people would have been fine.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it's already been 5 years. And we were hoping for the, you know, Prime 4. Or you guys were hoping for Prime 4. And we didn't get it.
And I think honestly, like, the initial reaction, people were very upset. But having seen it now, and having, you know, the impressions that I've seen on the show floor, for the most part, people are optimistic about this game.
Yeah, and part of the problem was that was the whole tone of the digital event was bad.
Yeah,
it needed the context of all of the Treehouse Live combined to make sense of half the stuff they talked about. This game included.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a certain, to introduce this game that really needed to be sold well, right? You really need to buy into this concept. This is going to be a fairly big game for 3DS in 2016, and they needed to sell it better than they did. They put a 1-minute teaser trailer in the digital event instead of, you know, explaining it, or at least having Bill Trinan's voice over some gameplay footage, saying what it is. Like, they didn't do any of that. And that's what killed the initial impression.
Federation Force wasn't even playable on the floor.
Blast Ball
was, but not a mission from Federation Force. So that also left people confused. You know, the only way to see any content about that and explanation is to watch that hour of Treehouse.
Right, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, so I think it's definitely worth paying attention to. I'm excited for it. As soon as I saw it, like, it's definitely like a, it almost feels like a first person shooter combined with like Monster Hunter sort of objective based missions, but also because it's developed, but it's squad based, and it's because it's Nintendo developed, it will be more approachable. I feel like it won't be like you have to play 10 or 15 hours before you can even really have fun in the game like Monster Hunter is. So, Justin, any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, I just agree that we should have probably a little bit of faith with Nintendo.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, you want to read this last email, Justin?
Sure, we got the last email, and then we got a quick tweet. And we'll talk. Jesse and I have done this one before, so we'll give you a little bit of an idea of how we think you should do it. So this is from Nick. Nick goes,
I
want to start
off. This email is like a page and a half long.
Yeah, we'll talk about how we do it. Okay. Because I want to start off by saying, I think your show is great. Well, Nick, thank you. And we also think our show is great. I listen to it every week, even though I'm a 21-year-old non-dad. Nick, that's absolutely fine. We take anyone to listen to our show. We appreciate it. Now on to business. I have this huge backlog, and by the way, he's not kidding. Zach is.
I know.
Is right.
Holy crap, dude! It's 2 pages long.
And I just wanted to hear any advice or comments or thoughts on the play order or games on the list and whatever else you have in mind. So, Zach, if you scroll down a little bit, and guys, this is a huge play log. This is incredible. Zach, he's identified some that he has not played at all. Those ones without any kind of brackets or anything around it. So what we said here is we're going to recommend our top three in this list for him to try.
Okay. So
I'm going to start off with my first one. And so for the viewers at home and listening, and this is a huge list. So Nick, the first one I'd recommend that you have on your list here is go to Super Mario Galaxy 2. This is found on the Wii. This is a tremendous sequel to the original Super Mario Galaxy. And one of my favorite games. I have distinct memories of playing this with my wife. We love playing it together. It was awesome. So I'd say that one. Jesse, what's one that you have for him?
I had the Legend of Zelda, The Wind Waker. I'd recommend the HD version. Well, you know, but if the GameCube version is all you have, that's fine too. I liked the additions of the quick sale and just everything was just
the Wii U version is beautiful. Yeah, oh my gosh,
it was
so good.
It was fun, and I don't think I said this last week when we first tried this, but you've got many Zelda games in this list, and we will recommend more than one. I would probably suggest don't play more than one Zelda game back to back. You're gonna burn yourself out. You know, so mix it in with the other games.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. My first one on this list that I'm looking at here, Fire Emblem Awakening for the 3DS. That is a really fun game. I love the relationship mechanic in that game, that you can like pair people together, and then there's the whole like offspring mechanic, which is really cool, and their kids fight alongside the parents and all that jazz. It's really fun. So definitely Fire Emblem Awakening. Are we only going off this top list, or is it anything here?
Yeah, only top list.
Okay. Who's next?
I think I am. And the next one that I am going to recommend, we actually have some identified here. Where'd it go? I'm going to say Metroid Prime 3. I really enjoyed that game. It was a great game for the Wii. And if you are still kind of scratching that itch for Metroid, disappointed that you did not get a new Metroid game, this is a fantastic game to jump into. Really great controls and handles really nicely. Has kind of a first-person view as well.
Mm-hmm. Jesse, what's next?
And then, just like I said, if you don't play more back-to-back Zeldas, so you should probably not play back-to-back Marios, because I'm suggesting Super Mario 3D World.
Nice.
You know, with the exception of which one is it now? The GameCube one, the Sunshine. I think almost every Mario game has been my favorite at that time. And 3D World definitely didn't miss. I loved playing through that.
Very cool. I'm looking at this list here, and I'm like, you guys have picked a bunch of them. one that I've talked about a lot before. Is The Legend of Zelda. I know we've talked about Zelda already, but Legend of Zelda Oracle of Seasons. Not enough people have played the Game Boy Color Zelda games, and they're a little bit shorter and a little bit more, you know, a little bit more bite-sized. I really, really liked Oracle of Seasons. So that's on the Virtual Console on 3DS, so check that out. That's one of my favorite Zelda games. It's also one of my firsts, and I think that's usually how that goes is one of your first Zelda game is usually your favorite. But that's definitely one of my favorites. So Oracle of Seasons.
I think coming back to me, one of my favorite, speaking of Zelda games, I think we've got a lot of Zelda games on here, is Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. This was a Super Nintendo original. I didn't discover it until about 3 years ago. I knew of its existence, however, I never played it until about 3 years ago. I absolutely love and adore the game. Fantastic gameplay capabilities, and of course, the spiritual kind of successor, that of A Link Between Worlds, which was my very first game I bought on the 3DS XL, which I love and continue to play. So it's a great Link, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past is just an awesome game and was such a pinnacle game of the Super Nintendo era as well. So that, you know, even if you're just even introducing children to it, if anyone who's listening is a parent, that might be a fantastic game to play with your child as well.
Awesome. Jesse.
Yeah, and then my third game would be Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, either one from that set. You know, if you like the Pokemon games, I used to play almost all of them, but I eventually did get burned out. I didn't get far into X or Y, and I actually didn't even try this one. But if it's been a while since you've played it, then this would be a good one to get back in on it. Because it's got all of the new features that's been introduced with Generation 6.
Nice. And for me, I think the last one that I would say, now he says Donkey Kong Country Returns. I don't know if he's meaning the Wii version or the 3DS version. But I would, it's kind of a tie. I actually haven't played Tropical Freeze yet, but I have played Donkey Kong Country Returns. I have that on the 3DS, and it's, I would say it's the superior version to over the Wii version. So Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, or if you're partial to the Wii U, then do Tropical Freeze instead. But one of those two Donkey Kong games, I think, is a good bet for sure.
You're just saying avoid the Woggle controls, huh?
Yeah, that's basically what I'm saying. like the Woggle controls, man, I cannot deal with that nonsense. I don't do very well with that. So right on. Thanks, Nick, for your email, and let us know what you choose and how you've been doing with your backlog. I have a ridiculous backlog on my 3DS in particular, but at some point I feel like, well, I played enough of this game to have enjoyed it or to know that I don't enjoy it. Anyway,
and that's one of the things that, you know, I had this whole big speech last week too that is gone. I'll kind of paraphrase it. It kind of goes along with what Jack just said. Don't feel that if you have the game, you have to play through it. If it's something you just really don't like and it's a grudge just to even turn the game on, just say, I'm done with it and go on the next game. Nothing's wrong with that. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, totally. If it's a crappy game and it's already robbed you of your money and the time that you've invested in it, don't let it rob you of any more of your life. Just move on. for sure. Justin, finally, we have a tweet here from Dave.
Our good friend of the show, Dave, who is in our Periscope pre-show as well. And Dave said, hey, guys, talk about how you guys really feel about Splatoon rolling out content slowly like this and what you guys want out of the NX. Content being rolled out for Splatoon slowly. You know, Dave, originally I think a lot of people had issues with it. I'm actually not really as bothered by it. And I think a couple things, it's making me come back to it like I'm playing it like every day. But I'm always like, oh, is today the day I get a new download of something? Oh, do I get a new map? Do I get a new gun? Like, I'm kind of excited for it, and it keeps drawing me to it and keep playing with it. So actually, as they're rolling out the content, to me, it actually kind of feels like it's still keeping it fresh and keeping it in my mind to play and trying out like what items I want. So I think that's actually okay.
I feel like I'm the exact opposite from you right now.
Really?
I feel like I was okay with it before, and I saw the wisdom in it, and now I'm sitting here wishing – I want more right now. I don't want to have to wait. I may not even be interested in this a month from now when it comes out. I may have moved on to something else. And if I buy a game, I want to play the game. I don't want to have to like wait to play a game that I've already paid for. You know what I mean? Like it's mm-hmm. like I want to like the and it bothers me too the way, you know, just like last night was the perfect example. I sit down, I'm like, "Man, I want to try this new tower control mode out." Oh, wait, I logged in at the wrong time and I can't play it right now, right? Like, it's really frustrating to me that like, last night in particular, I was just, it's so silly. And the fact that, like, well, Splatfest is coming, but it's for one day, and if you miss it, it's gone forever. I understand what they're trying to do, but I feel like the execution is off a little bit. You know, like, having the guns coming every once in a while, that's not so bad. Having the stages roll out, that wasn't so bad because they're just stages or they're just weapons and they don't change the game that much. But the waiting for game modes and the waiting for and the sort of artificial barrier of game modes specifically for the ranked battles is really pretty obnoxious to me right now. And I feel like when Rainmaker comes out, that's cool that it's coming, but you never know if you're actually going to be able to play it because you might log in at the wrong time. And I'm not the kind of person who's going to be playing it every night and like being excited. Ooh, who's like, what mode is it going to be this time? I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to log on and hopefully it's a mode that I like because otherwise I'm going to have to play a mode I don't like very much. So I don't know. Maybe that's me being too negative, but that's how I kind of feel about it. I feel like it's holding back content that I have paid for. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and at least up until this point, content that's still on disc. None of this is DLC yet, as far as
exactly.
I know. This is all on disc. It just needed the unlock.
Yeah. I think, I don't know if there was an update before Tower Control came online or not, Maybe there was there a patch before that happened?
I think there was a small patch, but I don't think it was.
There was a balance patch.
It was a
yeah, it was that balance.
It wasn't patch, for the content. It was for the gameplay.
Okay. It at least had the few bits in there that unlocked tower control. So I don't know. We'll see. Maybe I'll try getting into it a little bit more, but I feel like it just has taken a lot of the wind out of my hype sails, honestly, to not be able to play the way I want when I want to play it. So anyway, I don't know. What do you think I'm being too negative, Justin?
No, I mean, I think you make some valid points.
Yeah.
Ish.
Nice. Well, what do you guys...
I really actually do think he makes some valid points.
Yeah. So, what about this? What do we want out of the NX? I had a really interesting discussion with a guy at work the other day about the NX because, you know, I'm apparently the Nintendo guy at work. So people, like, come to my desk and want to talk about Nintendo. I don't know. Weird. So he came by and he was talking about his idea, thinking that the NX could potentially be... which I think actually would be really cool if they were to position it this way, because we've always imagined the NX as a hybrid, right? But also they're saying it's kind of going to be like a third pillar, and it would be cool. And he kind of suggested the idea that the NX could potentially be positioned as like a reverse Wii U. So the NX could be like a portable system, but maybe it has a Wii U tablet app on there so you can use it as the Wii U controller. But also the Wii U could have an NX app on there, and you could stream NX games from the NX to the Wii U, therefore using the Wii U as their home base that the NX has been envisioned of having. And I don't know, I thought that was a really cool idea that could kind of help in the transition from the current gen systems to the NX. You know, and then you could download 3DS games on there, or you could even have like a 3DS card slot on there. There's lots of different possibilities, but I like the idea of it kind of serving as both a new system, like a new handheld system, but also as a peripheral to existing systems. You could have like, you know, there's lots of different stuff like that, but having that connectivity between multiple systems, I think that's really missing right now on the hardware side. And I think that would be, I mean, let's face it, the Game Boy Advance had better connectivity with the Game Boy or with the GameCube than the 3DS has with the Wii U right now. So
I'd like to see that 3DS slot, just because even one of the first peripherals I've wanted to see with Wii U when it launched was like a USB plug with the let you put a 3DS card in and play 3DS games on the Wii U, which then also be backward compatible with DS games, and just kind of like Super Game Boy type of. And
I love the Super Game Boy, man. Like on the
Game Boy player for the GameCube. You
know, yeah, that was the best. That was like the best way to play some Game Boy Advance games.
This is just the next logical expansion of that. And maybe we'll see it with the NX now.
If the NX really is like more of a handheld console sort of deal, with the Wii U potentially being the big screen player on it. I don't know. Could work. What do you think, Justin? What are your hopes and dreams for NX?
Yeah, I think for the NX, you know, I hope for backwards compatibility. I kind of want a device that I can both very easily transport from home to on the go. I want something that if I've purchased something on either my 3DS or my Wii U, like a digital game like Adventures of Pip, I want to be able to have access to that, and not have to pay for it a dozen times over again. I want to have that catalog that I've you know, connected with so much, and I want to just kind of be able to have access to the Nintendo. You know, this sounds really bad. This kind of, you know, I listen to their podcast called Cord Killers, but essentially, I want to play what I want when I want on whatever damn device I want.
Totally.
And how I want to. So I want to be able to play that. Am I at home and I want to play on a big screen instantly? Bang! I want to play it. Am I on the go and, you know, taking a flight to Boston? I want to play it there. Bang! I want to play whatever game that is. And I want to have access to all of my library. And I don't want to be held off on those kind of things. So, yeah.
And I feel like there Nintendo has continued to make comments about the NX that they're looking at multiple different play styles when developing the NX. They're looking at, you know, how different regions play video games. Like, so, you know, the handheld market is still fairly healthy in Japan, whereas over here it's not doing as well. But consoles are also, you know, more popular over here than handhelds. And so, like, I feel like a lot of that, making it that sort of all-in-one device is, you know, continues to be a really smart option, and I hope that's what they go with. But we shall see. So, yeah, I think that about does it for our show this week, fellas. What do you think? Any stuff that we have missed?
Well, I wanted to mention a tweet that Paul Ganson sent out, because the other day we had a nasty set of storms go through my area. And apparently he's also in the Kansas City area, so he sent a tweet, says, "How's Jesse liking the weather we're getting in, Casey?" And he sent that to the Nintendo Dad's Twitter, and I replied out of my personal Twitter. I said, "I enjoy a good storm. I grew up in Minnesota, so grew up watching the weather. The rest of the family freaks out, though." And then he replied that, saying he's also from Minnesota, so he understands where I'm coming from.
Very nice. Storms, no, man. We've been...
No, Jesse, we've got some reviews, don't we?
We did, but I think I don't...
I've got one right out of the iTunes shop right now.
I deleted my image, so I'm going to have to recreate them. Hold on.
I've definitely got one from iTunes Canada. We got like 2 thumbs up and 5 stars from Moffat Child. And the comments was, "This podcast is as good as Nintendo voice chat. Its strength is that it views Nintendo from an interesting middle-class perspective, more so than from the industry itself. All in all, it's real down to earth." Moffat Child, thank you very much. We appreciate that, and I think that's Moffat, who has definitely sent in some statements to us before. We love that. Oh, that makes my heart sing. And to also be as good as included as Nintendo voice chat. We had good, you know, Per Schneider on a couple months ago. We love the Nintendo voice chat crew. That's a huge compliment for us. Thank you so much.
Okay. Absolutely.
I have them. I got 2 reviews on the U.S. iTunes store. Both of them gave 5 stars. One is from Che Argentino. Says, "Great find. I just started listening to a few Nintendo podcasts, and I'm really glad I came across Nintendo Dads. Love all the different personalities. Keep up the great work."
Right on. Man, are there more? Keep going.
I have one more. From Michael Burgett, says, "Great podcast. I found this podcast through a pre-show on Periscope and enjoyed listening to it. They are fans of Nintendo, and it shows. Great work all. Great work all around."
Wow. Well, thanks, guys. I seriously, like we've said, there is one way that you're going to change the world at all. It will be through leaving a review on iTunes. So please, everybody, continue to do that. You know, thank you for we do this show for the fans, for you guys. So, you know, continue to do that and share the love, and we will continue to make awesome content for you guys. So we really appreciate it.
Have you seen what Nintendo did with the Club Nintendo page, since it is now no longer a thing?
Does it redirect to VGTribune.com?
It does not, but
there's
a sad Mario.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome. Club.Nintendo.com. Where are we? Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Right on. Well, on that note, I think what we need to do is thank everybody for listening. Any other thoughts before we read off the final end bits here, guys?
We are not sad Marios. And as always, guys, thank you for everything. We love the emails you guys send in. We love the 5-star ratings and reviews. We love, you know, we know people are downloading and listening to our shows. We had awesome feedback. We have lots of really good guests planned, actually, by the way, in the next couple months. We've got some things in the pipeline with some very cool guests. We have more contests, as usual. We love just doing what we do for you guys, so thank you.
Absolutely. Of course, if you want to follow us on all the social medias, head over to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Nintendo Dads. Email us, nintendodads@gmail.com. You can watch us live on Wednesday nights around 9-ish. Follow us on Twitter for the exact time there.
That's a big but that's,
yeah, that's twitch.tv/NintendoDads. YouTube, you can check us out there as well. Just look for us at Nintendo Dads. Call in and leave us a voicemail at 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. Big thanks to ocremix.org for the music throughout the show, as well as Carter Johnson for our amazing artwork. You can check her out over at megacarter.tumblr.com. And, of course, download us over on Stitcher, iTunes, and, of course, vgtribune.com. And, of course, like we've said, change the world one review at a time. We appreciate everything that you guys do for us. And until then, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dad.